Hello, everyone, and welcome to Voices on Jazz 88.5 FM, broadcasting from North Community High School in Minneapolis. And we're with us today is Manny Hill. He's overseeing the entire Voices project here at Jazz 88. And if you're interested, give him a call. And I have three guests here with me today. I recognize them from basketball floors and great players, number one. Would you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Ben Calamo. I'm class of 2029. I'm coming to North Minneapolis High School for my sophomore year, transferring from Lakeville South. So, yeah.
How long have you played basketball?
I've been playing it for a pretty long time, since probably like third grade, so yeah.
Okay. Next in our lineup, if you will, is Dave, our coach and our mentor. Dave, tell us about yourself, please.
A little bit about myself, Dave Gregory, coach of Minneapolis Hustlers, also known as Minneapolis Only Us 15U, mentor, father, philanthropist. I wear all the hats in North Minneapolis. Just looking to bring, you know, the talent together, not just on the court, but in the classroom as well.
Thank you. And?
Juke Gregory, incoming sophomore to North High School, coming from Camden. And, yeah, I play basketball.
Juke, do you have an idea of how many times I've mispronounced your name thinking you were Jude? Yeah, and finally somebody said, no, it's Juke. And I said, Juke? And they said, do you know what that means? And I said, no. So tell us what that means in basketball.
It's like you either like break somebody or cross them over, and football too, but a lot of people mix that up a lot, so it's fine.
So is it a good thing?
Yeah, it's good.
It's a good thing. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, let's go with that. My name is Karen Eileen, and I'm a mom of three, grandmother of six, great-grandmother of three. I'm a nurse, broadcast journalist. I've been a reporter, anchor. And I just think there's so much bad news bears all day, all night. And our effort here today with the voices of the students is to have a positive light from them on what's going on in their lives. So, Ben, what is the most important thing for you in basketball?
The most important thing for basketball for me is, I think, like, when I'm on the court, it, like, clears my mind. And stuff like that, like.
Is it hard to get there? I mean, you're in practice. You come in, you warm up, and the buzzer rings, and there you go.
Yeah, I take basketball really serious. So, like, I think it's very important to me, and it's just how I. Yeah, that's just my like lifestyle and stuff.
Okay, Juke, how about you?
Same thing, but basketball is a pretty serious thing for me because I'm also the oldest in my family and I have younger siblings looking up to me. So just to show them what it looks like to take something serious that you love and to be an inspiring role model and stuff.
You know what? When you mentioned family, I want to head this up very early on because I'm from a very big family. And my next younger brother, everybody at our house is tall, okay, like 6 foot something. And my next younger brother, when he went into, and I'm going to take this into my arena because I don't want any of this to be personal for any of you. So when he was in eighth grade, he was good at basketball, okay? So he got moved up to freshman basketball. Then I don't know if there was like ABC, C team, B team, A team, varsity, all of that. He just kept moving up. He was playing with four teams, four. Do you know what kind of practice you have for that?
Mm-hmm.
So we grew up on a farm. We had all of these chores to do. He had no time. All of his responsibilities with anything there was shirked. It changed the dynamics of the whole house. So, Dave, you've been at this for a while. What does that do? What does that do to the player to have all of these changes on them so soon?
I think the pressures of basketball, a lot of these kids, like Ben said, this is his life. So when he's not performing on the court well, it affects his mental health. And I think nowadays, with kids not having too many options outside of sports, That's when the game of basketball become business too early. I think the game of basketball needs to stay the game of basketball in a child's game, because really it's a child's game. But if you take it serious enough, you can go places in basketball that, you know, you would never dream of if that's something that you really love to do. Because playing basketball imagine you playing from first grade all the way to 12th grade. Mm-hmm. That's a very big commitment, right? And what if you don't make it to where you want to make it to? How many kids say, you know what, I don't know what I want to do besides sports. What's my identity outside of sports? That's the biggest thing for me as their coach mentor, is to help them form an identity outside of sports. What is something else you like to do besides go to the gym and shoot hoops? Because let's be honest, we are in a 0.1% kid that go professional, even into Division I college, and even that nowadays is very hard. So outside of sports and the rigorous schedule, like, I told the kids, like, I need a break from basketball right now. Because not only am I coaching, I'm in the business side of it now as being a manager and helping kids get to the next level. Mm-hmm. And once you realize, like, this is an actual business, then it's like, it gets serious. And to talk to kids about business in basketball at 15, it can be challenging.
It's a teeter-totter.
It can be challenging a little bit.
It's a teeter-totter. Do you feel, and this question is for all three of you, please, if you will, and Juke, maybe you can start. Do you ever feel like at your age you're kind of catapulted, just kind of pushed forward into a bracket that's above your age? Mm-hmm. Or unless your dad is there to pull it back?
Like, I don't, like, know what the question is, like, fully.
Okay, do you feel that when you're playing basketball, you've got a lot of responsibilities? You've got physical, you've got mental, you've got psychological, you've got social, all of that going on at the same time. So when there's a lot of focus on basketball, do you think that other areas kind of get impacted with that? And do you feel that ever, like, if you're 14, if you're 15, do you feel like you're in a world that's a little bit ahead of 14 and 15-year-olds?
Yeah, I see, like, a lot of kids my age around me, they trying to, like, put on an image of it for themselves because, like, they're not really as talented as others in their sport. But I really think my family just balances it out, like, tells me to, like, stay humble, stay down to earth, like, be humble, help out other people. And I've always went with that my whole life, just helping out others when they need help. So I think social media and stuff doesn't really affect me as an athlete as much as others do. So, yeah, I think the world around me is pretty, like, affected by that, but not me, because I know what I do behind closed doors.
Okay. Dave, how about you? Do you think the kids, the students, the young athletes are put in a situation that is like maybe a little bit above 14, 15, 16?
I feel like I'm going to speak on my program. My program, for sure, we are, quite frankly, we are the most hated program in Minneapolis, in Minnesota.
Why? Minnesota. Why? Because of your accomplishments?
We have a player, Malik Martin, on our team, obviously, number one player. He gets a lot of attention. So we're everybody's Super Bowl. We're everybody, you know, no matter who we play, what race, everybody wants to beat us because of the attention we get, what they get, per se. They're broadcast on social media thanks to the Only Us page. And I created that platform for our inner city kids to be seen, because if I'm not showing them, how are they going to be seen? And nowadays, a lot of times it's not about, you know, what you know is like what you see. When you wake up in the morning, you're going to see us on TikTok, Instagram. So I push our players forward. The state of Minnesota, a lot of the people in the state don't really like that. And I don't personally care, because I'm here to create opportunities for our kids, not just basketball. All the kids are doing financial literacy classes. A lot of them are doing summer jobs through my program. Mm-hmm. So it's just not basketball. It's more creating opportunities for them in any lane they want to take. And that's sports, academics, socially, emotionally. So any advantage I can give the kids that I'm involved with, that's what I like to do. In North Minneapolis, I think we deserve, most of our players, let's be honest, they leave the city and go to suburb schools. It's my job to keep our talent home and not just focus on basketball, but make sure they're getting what they need academically as well. So that's my duty. I feel like I was put here for that reason, and I'm going to continue doing my job. And, you know what they say. If you're doing a great job, the haters are going to come. So, hey, come on with it. We're going to keep doing what we do.
There you go.
Yep.
Ben, how about you? Do you ever feel like you're kind of moved forward in a higher age bracket or maturity arena at all?
Yeah, I just agree with everything they said because, like, yeah.
No, elaborate, though. Don't agree with it. Speak your truth.
Wait, can you repeat the question again?
Do you ever feel like you have responsibilities that might be a little bit above and beyond 14 years old or 15 years old because of the work and the effort that everybody puts into this? And it shows. You're winning.
Yeah, like there's a lot of social media posts like about our team and stuff like that. And a lot of people like always hate on us and stuff like that. So like,
how do you deal with that?
I just block it out and I just work hard. Yeah. And
is that the word from the mentor? Block it out?
So I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna tell you a little bit about Ben. Ben is probably one of the most hardest working kids I know. He's coming from Lakeville South. He take buses north Minneapolis to put the work in. So he's not giving himself justice because he's, you know, probably can't elaborate in this moment. But I'm going to tell people for my perspective. He's the type of kid that I love to invest in because he's putting the work in. If I can help you, like I got him 2 years ago playing with me, and he showed up in the winter, no coat, no pants. He came in some Crocs, some shorts in the middle of the winter. He said, I want to try out. We're like, who is this kid? Like, where you come from? And I seen you on social media. Came to Sojourner Truth, worked out, and ever since then, he became part of the family. This is not a basketball team. This is a family. And when I mean family, kids call me all the time. They come over to my house. They chill. So Ben coming to North High School, it's just an opportunity for him to continue to show his hard work. Even though he might not be able to, you know, articulate himself in every moment right now, he's still young. But for me to be a mentor for him and a big brother, you know, I want to give him his credit. Like, it's commendable that nowadays a lot of kids are, you know, they're giving a lot. A lot of kids ain't working hard. A lot of kids don't want to get on the bus and take this 2-3 hour ride on the bus over here to get better. So everybody, you know, has noticed him, and he will be, you know, highly ranked, you know, this coming August. And he deserves it. Everything he got, he worked his butt off for. Nothing was given to him. You know what I'm saying? Everything he did, he worked hard for it. He woke up early mornings, late nights. You know, Mike Ben, how are you getting around? Bus. How are you doing this? It didn't matter to him as long as he got there to play basketball. So he put the work in, you know. Pressures for them is huge, but they all stick together as brothers. You know, they don't break apart. You know, even though the state want to see them all split apart, they stuck together and they decided to come to North High School next year and, you know, put a show on, you know, and put the city where we belong, and that's on top.
Ben, what was it then? I want to run with this. What was it that attracted you to North? Was it the stats? Was it the coach? Wasn't the bus ride, I don't think.
It was, I thought I see more opportunities over here than...
Opportunities like what?
Like better coaching, and because where I want to go pretty far with basketball, and I could, like, go pretty far if I came over here. Like, yeah, and...
You know what? When you showed up on the court, I've been following the team, you might guess, right?
Yeah.
And just watching. Whoa, wait a minute. Who's this? Where's he from? Yeah, so you're noticed. Noticed. Good job.
Absolutely.
Okay. What could you add to that, Duke?
Yeah, just really having someone around like Ben, he really inspired me to, like, see the other side. Because, you know me, I didn't grow up the hard way. I really didn't have – I had mostly had things handed to me because my dad and my mom. So seeing where Ben come from, it inspires me to work harder than what I do. And just having a friend to keep me humble like that, it just, like, helps me out in my real life instead of basketball.
What does the team cohesiveness do for you?
I think our team we became closer throughout the years. Like, everybody was, like, pretty quiet. We liked each other, but it was, like, hard to get to know each other because we all had different personalities. But me, I'm, like, the team captain of the team, so I brought everybody together as a family, as a group. So now we all could call each other on and off the court if we need each other. Like, we talk to each other more, and that's what helps us throughout the stuff that comes towards us, which is hate. Mostly, like, the hate, because, you know, just inner-city kids, they don't know how to respond to hate. So, you know, they take that to violence, fighting, all of that. But we stay humble. We bring it to the court. Y'all could play us on the court, and we could settle it like that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think is what our team is based off of.
You know, if you listen to the news for 5 minutes, if you can tolerate it, and just to be aware of how the world is right now, there are so many choices out there. There are so many choices out there. And some of them have pretty dreadful circumstances. What took you to basketball?
I just really liked enjoying playing basketball. And I went to some suburb schools, but these past few years I've been inner city school. So I feel like it's pretty easy to go down the wrong path with the wrong people. But me having a father figure in my household is like, it makes that decision easy for me. Like, I could be outside right now with my friends instead of doing this. I choose the right people to be around. Like, Ben is somebody I like to be around because he doesn't try to put on no, like, persona of himself as a tough guy or anything. He's a pretty cool kid to me, and I like to hang around with him. So me going to, like, Camden last year, it was a lot of, like, bad stuff going on in that school. So I was thinking to myself, like, I need to find a way to help some of these kids and get out of this school. So that's what brought me to North. And, yeah, that's what brought me to basketball, too. So,
how did you choose North?
I chose North because my dad was working at both schools. I seen that they're more of the winning school than Camden. So, you know, I picked that because of that. The basketball, the academics, for sure. I like the academics. And, yeah, it's a pretty overall nice school to me.
How about you, Ben? What brought you to North?
Well, I was actually, when I was at Lakeville, I wasn't playing where I was supposed to be. I thought they had me playing lower where I was supposed to be. So, like, I didn't like that, and I didn't think that they gave me the opportunity that I needed. So I talked to my coach and right here, and I thought that they were going to give me more opportunities over here. That's basically why I came and stuff like that.
When you are not positioned, if I can say this correctly, if you're not positioned where you can do your best, what does that do to your incentive? How hard is that for you?
Can you repeat the question one more time, please?
You said you weren't in the right position, if I understood you correctly, then how do you feel about that when you're not in the right position and you want to do something else, or you think you can do better in this position and you're not heard or positioned differently?
When I'm not in the right position, I don't feel good about that, but I know where I want to be, so I put myself in the right position most of the time and stuff like that.
Okay. So, yeah. Dave, what is, from a coach standpoint, from a mentor standpoint, how do you see that when students or athletes are not in the position where they do their best?
I just think that overall basketball is not the thing I tell kids to focus on. I'm honest with kids. Some kids, the home life is not going to be, you know, it's not going to equal out as a consistent basketball player. You might get a great performance here and there, but when I met Ben, I met his foundation, which is his mom and dad. Mm-hmm. That equals a hardworking kid, that foundation. Some kids are not blessed with a good foundation because of circumstances. So when I see kids that are, you know, maybe missing a father figure, I'm not trying to replace anybody. I can step in as a big brother and a mentor. So my thing is a life coach. So I look at Ben as a little brother and also as a life coach. I'm going to be honest, I'm closer to their age than their parents are. So I can give them a different perspective, and it's a respect level. So when kids come around and I see something in them, and I'm like, it was something in Ben that he wanted to get, but he didn't know how to get there. So this summer he played on the top circuit in the country, EYBL, that was an opportunity that he got to do while playing on my team, you know. So it was a great mix of him wanting to do great, me seeing something in him, and that just clicked. And that's how normally my relationship with players go. I'm in my community, so I work in Camden. And I don't want this to be an interview or a radio clip about they don't like Camden and this and that. It's just different perspectives. I work in both schools. So as a father, I wanted my son to have better. That was that. But I'm still working at Camden. I think there's some great people over there. But at the end of the day, Camden is more developing. North have their people in place already.
Developed.
Yeah, they're already developed. And it's nothing against Camden developing. It's just going to take some things in certain areas to get worked out for that next step to happen. So basketball is the small part of the kids switching. I think it's the social aspect and the academic aspect is the number one thing that I preach as a father. And then obviously seeing kids like Ben that can come over here and thrive. Seeing kids like Damian Barnes that can thrive. Seeing Malik Martin that can thrive. We just got Marcus Marshall coming back to North. Everybody wants to win, not only in basketball, but in the classroom, socially. These kids they want to be kids. And like you said, most of the kids are put in situations where they got to be 18, 19, 20 at 15 years old. So they're given adult responsibilities in child bodies and child minds. And
Without life experience in those arenas. And what can they have to back them up? But I'm going to double back here on this, though, too. When you as a mentor or a coach, Dave, when you see that one of the athletes is not doing their thing, I'll just leave it at that. And I think you know what I mean.
Yep.
So what do you see that it does to their incentive?
I think having an incentivized reward for the kids a lot of times is, what is their why? I ask kids all the time, what is your reason for playing basketball? Like, what are you trying to get out of it? Because then whatever their mindset is going to equal what they give. So a lot of times kids don't even know why they're playing basketball. It could be because a friend. Mm-hmm. It could be I'm just talented. It could be I'm trying to escape something. So depending on what they're going through in that moment, their incentives look different. So some kids have natural gifts. Ben is a kid that has some natural gifts but worked his way into being this player he is. Juke is a very hard working kid, very, very talented. But like I tell my son all the time, this is getting in his way of that incentive.
Now, you're pointing to your head here. What does that mean? Because nobody can see us.
Mental health. I think nowadays the biggest piece that we're missing as a community is the mental health aspect. And like I said before when I was on here, you get to the internal aspect and not the external, you will figure out why that player is who he is. Most of the kids are talented, but what's blocking them is a mental block. And most of the time that's starting at home. You never know what these kids are going through. There's a lot of kids are trying to escape their reality, and they play sports. And we've seen it. Most inner city kids, most professional athletes are from the inner city. You know, they come from poverty and X, Y, and Z. But now basketball in Minnesota has become a suburban sport because it's become, the wealthy people and the more well-off people are able to put their kids in better position. Then it come along, someone like me in my community, I'm able to leverage certain things to get our kids in better situations, and people necessarily don't like that. Why are all the kids transferring to North? Hopkins every year, Creighton every year, De La Salle every year. But when the inner city's getting something good, it's an issue. That's funny to me because, 4 months ago, North wasn't even talked about. We made a move down here, and then other people came down here, and now we're looked at as the bad guys. Same thing with the basketball team that I coach. And like I said, if we continue to feed into our community and help these kids out, we can win state championships, we can get kids out to college, and most importantly, we can build a community for ourselves at a higher level, because we won't be having Hopkins and De La Salle and all these suburban schools coming to pluck our kids. Because we got all the resources right in our community, right in North High School.
There you go.
Yep.
There you go. Wow. What do you see as the role of the family, Ben, in supporting you to achieve your goals with basketball? What do you want from your family? What do you need from your family? How can they help you?
Well, my family, like, they don't really, like, care about sports and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like, you know, they just care about school and stuff like that.
Okay.
So they support me. They might show up to a few games or two, but, like, I kind of just picked up a ball, and I just been playing since that. My family never really, like, pushed me to play a sport or, yeah. Like, it was mainly school. They want me to be good in school and stuff. It was never about a sport or anything.
So are they bigger on academics?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have difficulty balancing that with basketball?
No, I don't.
Plain and simple, no, I don't.
Yeah, I don't.
Thank you. Joke, how about you?
It's kind of like the same thing because, like, my family didn't make me or push me to play basketball. I just wanted to do it by myself. And they really focus on academics also. And I think I balance it out pretty well. I think I'm more of a student-athlete than an athlete-student, you know, because I take school serious because I know people, like coaches and stuff, they look at me for my size, and I still can prove I could play basketball, but I know I'm going to have something to fall back on after I play basketball because I took school seriously.
You need something to fall back. We all need something to fall back on after time marches on, right?
Absolutely.
So from your perspective, Juke, how does AAU interface with high school basketball? High school basketball is on usually for the school term. Mm. What about AAU?
I think AAU is pretty, it's not getting out of hand, but it's like kind of different than high school because high school is more organized. AAU is like you see a kid, you pick them up, let them play for a game or two, and then you go about your day. High school is more organized because tryouts and just to see where all the players are at, and then you have to work your way up to that varsity level because it's obviously the best level. So I think I like high school basketball more than AAU because it's like kids that are not playing the right age group. They're just trying to get looks because they could dunk or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think AAU is pretty, like, not the same.
Do you see that it interfaces, that there's positives from both sides, though, that can complement the athlete?
Yeah, I think AAU can help you get more looks than high school because college coaches don't really come to your high school games unless you're a top country athlete. AAU helps you with that, like, because me and Ben, we played on the top circuit, one of the top circuits in America, UIBO, and that really helps you get your looks because college coaches actually come to your games and you get to see them and you get to showcase your skills. So I think that's a pro from AAU, but high school, I think I like the organized.
The structure of it? Yeah.
So they both have good
things. When you say get your looks, what are you talking about?
Like,
I mean, somebody can give you a dirty look and that's a look, you know. But when you get your looks, that sounds like it's a positive thing.
Yeah, like maybe if you get lucky enough or you play well enough, you might get a college offer at your age division, or you get interest from a college.
Mm-hmm.
Getting like that from college, that's what helps you in AAU. That's what I mean by that.
Okay, thank you. Do you have anything to add to that, Ben? What do you? How is it for you for AAU and high school basketball?
I also like the structure of high school basketball too, but I feel like AAU for me is like a big thing because that's how I like started to like work more hard and stuff like that because I've seen all these kids that were ranked higher than me and stuff like that. I mean, that doesn't matter to me, but like I seen it and I was like, I think I should be ranked and be like a top kid in the class, but whatever. Like I play on the top circuit, EYBL, me and Juke, and I feel like seeing all those kids out there made me want to work harder because, yeah, they work hard and they're pretty good, and yeah.
Dave, what do you have to add to that?
I think for AAU basketball, for kids like Ben, over super athletic, dunking the basketball, it's more of a show. It's a showcase. AAU is not for development. You're not going. I'm not in practice. I'm not teaching you how to do all these different things. It's mostly just concepts. We're gonna run this offense. We're gonna do this, but it's to showcase my best players. Each one of my kids have been high. I have over 10 kids on my team have had write-ups by scouts this summer. And these two were included in multiple write-ups. So for Ben, it was a, you know, he's probably the biggest stock riser as far as, you know, the rankings in Minnesota 2029 class. You know, I did call it out early this spring. I said he's going to be the top 15 player in the class before the summer. And he will be that. I just seen it. I seen a different kid. I'm like, he came back hungry, came back ready to play. So it's a showcase. High school and nowadays is different because college has changed their rules with the eligibility thing. So it's, you know, it's becoming an older sport. So high school kids got to be super, super locked in on improving. And like Juke said, he's a more skilled player. So the game 5-on-5 high school rules fit him better because he's able to, you know, play with his, you know, smarts, his IQ, shoot the ball very, very well, run the offense. Mm-hmm. Being an AAU, he gets out, dunks. You know, kids want to see that type of stuff. So it's pros and cons to both. I've, you know, happened to see the business aspect of, you know, AAU basketball and seeing the top circuits, you know, Nike, Adidas. I've, you know, been around these, you know, these mm-hmm. circuits and seeing how it's ran nationally. So it's a different world outside of Minnesota because you're dealing with, you know, some great, great, you know, individuals. But obviously, to be on a national stage, you know, most of the kids are, you know, locked in with NBA players and people that have a lot of status. So a lot of times it's not what you know, it's who you know. And like they said, they got an opportunity to play Nike this summer, and they seen there's a lot of levels to the game of basketball. So I tell the kids, you know, focus on academics. You know, make sure that's the number one thing, because at the end of the day, every kid in America is playing basketball right now. And what's separating you? Why do a college coach want to invest in you to come to their program and help them? Mm-hmm. So as much as I'm preaching basketball and we're going to be great and all that, just remember, whatever level you go, college, you're blessed. If that's NAIA, if that's JUCO, if that's D3, D2, D1, whatever level you at, as long as you maximize your potential and your skill set that God granted you, mm-hmm. you're a winner in my book. So my thing is to come together, create the most attention for my program, which we did, and now it's up to y'all to put the work in. So I got you to the point where everybody knew who y'all are, and you know, you guys got you to the point where everybody know you are. So now it's time for y'all to put the work in outside of social media. Get off the camera, get in the gym, lock in, and just get better. Now it's time to win a state championship come, you know, March next year, and you know, get to know each other, build team camaraderie, and also, you know, knock them grades out, and just to build a, you know, a family bond. So AAU is about to wrap up here shortly. Mm-hmm. High school about to start in September. So it's just it's going to be a great opportunity to build some trust with these kids and finish off the summer strong and go into, you know, high school with a lot of excitement. I don't think North had a team like this in a decade, you know, with the type of excitement and talent they got coming over here this year. So it's going to be pretty cool to watch for from a fan aspect, because I won't be coaching this year. So that's a great thing for me.
a little bit of slack.
Oh, man, I'm so happy not to coach this year. I'm just ready to, you know, be a fan of the game and watch these kids, you know, perform. Mm-hmm.
What do you find is the most difficult to balance your life when you put so much in basketball, Juke?
I would really have to think on that one, because I think I balance everything out pretty well, like school, family, most of the things that are important to me. But one thing, I could probably give you one thing, probably social life, probably. It's the hardest for me, because when I'm out in social areas, I don't really talk that much. And, you know, when kids don't go into sports, they're pretty more outgoing people. And I'm not really that outgoing, but if you speak to me, I'll speak back, obviously. But yeah, I think the social life is the hardest one for me.
So if I'm hearing this correctly, you guys know the court, you know your plays, and you go. But as far as reaching out, starting a conversation, or chit-chatting with somebody, maybe not as much. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. Yeah, mostly. I mean, I can speak. I'm a good speaker, but I'm not really, like, outgoing that much.
I'm going to ask you something. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to. But do you still have to do dishes and chores at home?
Yes.
Well, that came quick enough.
Yes. Absolutely.
Man. How about you, Ben? Do you have chores at home?
Yeah.
Yes?
A lot.
How do you compensate? How do you keep everything in balance when you've got so much time on the bus where the kids who are living, you know, like down the block or, you know, minutes away and they can just run over to practice? How do you balance everything when you've got so much time on the bus? You work at it. You seem to be managing it quite well, though.
Yeah, like, I just know the time to get on the bus.
That's the priority, time to get on the bus.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the most encouraging word that you've had throughout your basketball time so far?
I'll think about that real quick.
While you're thinking, we'll ask Duke the same question. What's the most encouraging word?
Most encouraging word probably, like, heart over height, probably, for me, because I'm not the biggest or strongest or none of that, but heart over height is probably the most encouraging for
heart
me.
Heart over height.
Yeah.
The way you zip around that floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, indeed. Do you have something to add, Ben?
A word I could use is underrated.
And who is that? Who said you were underrated? People.
People. That's just.
Let's not call names. So yeah. We don't want any more hate. But yeah, let's leave it at that. What do you think is the most encouraging word from a coach or from a mentor or from parents?
Percy Wade. That's my mentor. Percy Wade is a legend in Minnesota. He actually coached them for Howard Pulley. He didn't coach girls, boys, basketball for about 30, 40 years.
Wow.
And he's who I look up to as a young coach. Just be where your feet is. Be grounded, you know. Take it day by day. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Because he's seen how, you know, frustrating I was last year with coaching. But at the end of the day, I think everything is a learning lesson. And each and every day is a new challenge. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's always to build off the next day. Day by day to see a better day. That's my saying. Okay. Day by day to see a better day, you know, continue to push forward.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball, coaching basketball in North Minneapolis, to say it's challenging is an understatement.
Why?
I don't.
Why?
Just the, you know, my team was good, but what I had to do for the team to actually work was
a lot.
Darn near impossible.
Ooh.
Because, you know, I got a family of six kids at home. And most of the kids I look at as, you know, father figure, big brother. A lot of the parents were not going to invest their time into doing stuff.
Mm.
So, you know, we're traveling to Memphis. We're going down to Chicago. We're going to Appleton. We're going down to Houston, Texas. Just imagine, 8-9 kids flying on a plane, getting in one car, packing in the car like sardines.
So, make sure they had snacks.
Yeah, so it was a challenge. So everything that was challenging about it ended up being a reward, in my opinion. Because giving kids hope and giving kids, you know, opportunity is everything I could dream of and more. So, you know, even though, you know, it goes back to Percy Wade always telling me, like, Dave, you live in your purpose. Living in your passion. So it might not always shake out right, but God always make a way. And the kids are getting opportunities of a lifetime. So, you know, that is what, this is why I do the work I do. And I want to continue to inspire people behind me to, you know, push forward, you know, pay it forward. You know, whatever I'm doing right now is just to pay it forward and just get these kids a platform and, you know, continue to help them dream big and, you know, dream outside the box.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Jade, what do you, I called you Jade and you're Juke. Oh, I do it all the time. I'm sorry. What do you say to young athletes that you think is most encouraging to them about basketball?
That is just keep working hard and you're not too far from your goal, probably. Because kids might think, I'm too little or I'm not skilled enough or this and that, I'll say you're not too far from your goal, because dreaming big is a big thing for me, because I think I can make it if I work hard enough to the NBA or college or things like that. So I'll say working hard and your goal isn't that too far.
Ben, do you have something to add to that? What would you say to a young athlete?
I would say work hard too, because not everything just handed to you. So you got to work hard to get where you want to be and stuff like that.
And don't be satisfied with underrated.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What do you gather from an energetic crowd at a game? Is that just out of your scope or out of your lane? Do you notice it when you're out there playing?
Just like block it out.
Yeah. Oh, an energetic crowd, like a turned up crowd.
Yeah, like in Memphis.
Like y'all don't like crowds that's hype?
Oh, I mean, I don't really.
Man, y'all
don't really
crowd.
Pay attention.
Yeah, yes, y'all
really
do.
Pay attention to it.
Cause I'll be like, time out. Come on, I need one.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Probably what I gather from an energetic crowd is, I think it just, I might come out into the game, last days are cool. That just turns me up more and make our team want to go harder and stuff.
Dave, what do you add to that?
I love when the crowd is hyped. I love when the room get hot and sweaty for, you know, us to, you know, everybody compete at a high level. You know, I'm going at it. Anybody that coaches against me, I'm looking to be the loudest coach on the court. Truthfully, I'm out there to compete. Even though my players on the court, I'm competing. I'm gonna have a sore throat at the game. Voice gonna be gone because at the end of the day, like, it's a competition, and that's what we all here for. We all want to compete. Even as coaches, like, I love seeing our players. It's games that we lost that I'm like, that was a good game. I take that loss because it was back and forth. It was like you said, it was in Memphis. The crowd was going crazy. Because, you know, we from out of town in Minnesota, they like, where's Minnesota at? They from Memphis. They from Arkansas, actually. There's a team from Arkansas. And we was going at it. We up 15. They got a little player about his height, hitting about 8 threes.
Woo.
After the game, I just shook his hand. I'm like,
good going.
It was a great game. Like, we had good moments. They had good moments. And they end up squeaking out the win. But for me, they supposed to, that's a added motivation. Like, North versus Camden next year is going to be nuts. Anybody that play against us is going to be a big game because we got the star power over here now, and they are part of that. So when y'all used to people giving y'all best shot, right?
Yeah,
right. Y'all used to chirping, y'all used to loud crowds, right? What does that do for y'all when y'all ready to play the big games?
I think it makes me like play better. Like, I think I reach flow state. Like when I hear that,
what's flow state?
Like, I can do what I want. Like, I feel good with the ball.
You got this.
Yeah.
You got this. Good going. You know, as an audience member, and I've been attending basketball games all the way back to my brother when he was in eighth grade, so that's a long time ago. But when players are, I will say, mean, I have difficulty with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, just... sometimes it looks like it's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get your players beyond that? I want them to go home and act like that.
I think
seriously, and I tell them.
I think our players, a lot of time basketball is there, like they can let all their anger out and all their frustrations. But I always tell our kids, like I tell him, you gotta play basketball happy. Some people can play angry, but that's not a normal occurrence. Like I tell them, I say, go watch the NBA. Steph Curry, he's always smiling, laughing, throwing up shots. It's good energy. Basketball is an energy thing. When I pass the ball to you, if I got a negative energy about me, it's going to be – people don't believe in it. Like, the energy got the ball. The ball got energy? Yes, the ball is good energy and bad energy. So when I tell my team before the game, I can see how we warm up. I'm going to tell you how we're going to play.
Really?
Yeah. I can look at the warm-ups, and I'll be like, yeah, we're going to get blew out this game. Cause as
Do you
much,
say that to your team?
Yes. Or? I would pull them together. Like, I'm like, y'all BSing right now. What is going on? Oh, but a lot of times, I'm going to be honest, our team was ranked a top 5, 15U team in the state earlier this year, right? And our record a little funny right now because we were missing most of our main players because they went to go play with other circuits. So we had to play with our, you know, some other players. Great players, but, you know, team chemistry is a little off. But a lot of our players did get big-headed, and they thought, big-headed, they walk in the gym better than, you know, everybody. Even though they earned it, you still, like, imagine being the hunter, and now you're the hunted. At first, we was hunting people trying to be good. And then everybody, in the last 2 years, we have became everybody's biggest gang. Oh, we want to play y'all. We want to beat y'all. We're an independent team. We got shoot teams want to play us. So I always tell them, keep your edge. Like, having an edge, and I'm going to say this, like, Malik Martin not here, but he's a player that plays with an edge.
What does that mean?
He's the number one player in the state, and he feels like he's not that good. And I think he, like, takes pictures of, like, in his head, like, this person said I'm not that good. I'm going to show him every time I go on the court that I am who they say I am. So, and I tell him, like, always keep an edge. The slightest thing, use it as an advantage on the court, because that's going to always keep you humble.
And that's, you know what, though? That's true in life.
Yep.
I mean, this whole basketball game and what you're doing and investing in and doing a good job and all of that, but, you know, it's a mini model for life. Mm-hmm. Manny's shaking his head because we're on the other side of the teenagers. But it is. And what you can learn from that is going to help you all along the way.
Yep.
What would you like to say in closing?
I don't really got much to say, but thank you for having us.
Oh, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking the time and the encouragement. And again, I want that the opportunity at Jazz 88.5 FM in the North Community High School is the location for student voices, airtime. If there's something I can do to help you, let me know. And Dave, thank you for coming back again. What would you like to say in closing?
I just, you know, want to continue the great momentum that North Minneapolis has. Not only just, like I said, sports, but we do have a back-to-school giveaway coming up September 6th. You guys can find the information at MPLS_only_us. We will have a free back-to-school giveaway. We have every year. It's our fourth annual.
What is that?
So we're having a back-to-school giveaway, free haircuts, free back-to-school supplies,
free food,
great entertainment. This year we'll have a lot of sponsors.
Where is that going to be?
It will be at 150 2nd Street South. 150 2nd Street South. We'll be having, you know, a great day of fun. All the players do come out and participate in that giveaway as well. So it's just a day to have fun, continue to grow our community, come together as one. So I look forward to, you know, continue being on this platform and, you know, giving these athletes and, you know, other athletes in the school just a platform to be able to be heard and then also, you know, be seen as well.
I want to just double back for a moment because there was a basketball camp in North Minneapolis recently. And we had some players that were doing the demos, and then, but those kids were working from what, 10 o'clock until 2:30?
Yep. So,
straight through.
Yep. We had Malik Martin's first annual youth basketball camp. So, he came to me, and we wanted to kind of see how we can bring the community together. So, it was about 30 kids. Third through sixth grade. So it was a day of instruction, you know, showing them different things. They had a 3-point contest, one v one contest, and then a defensive MVP and MVP trophy handed out as well. So we had sponsorships from Hometown Pizza, Uptown Hub Nutrition. So it was a great experience for these kids, and Malik being the person he is in the community, the kids want to see him. And then also, being in Juke, playing a major role as well and helping out with the camp and supporting their brother. So like I said, this is a family. And, he gets a lot of attention, but he's also helped other kids on our roster, be seen as well. And it's going to be amazing to see where this group goes in the next 2 years. On the court and off the court, because I feel like this is going to be a thing that stays in our community for years to come. This is not just a one-time thing. As long as I'm in the picture, and I will be in the picture, I want to be able to push our athletes not just athletes. I want to, you know, push them in their communities so we can keep our young kids motivated, you know, seeing other people that's made it and that's going to make it before them. So just leaving our footprints and leaving their footprints in our community is
paying it forward.
Yep, paying it forward. That's the number one thing.
Ben, you were doing demos that day too, weren't you?
Yeah.
With what kind of response did you see from the young people all around you and trying to imitate you? I was there watching, and it was awesome.
I think it was a great opportunity to come see the kids and teach them like stuff to do, and yeah.
What kind of response did you get from the young people? You have the years of experience, so they can't imitate you to the T of what you players are out there doing. But I saw them. They were trying so hard and almost tripping over their little legs to try to catch up to where what they saw you do. What did they say to you afterward?
They're just thanking me for showing them some drills and stuff like that, like just taking them through the drill, showing them what to do.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is there anything further that you'd like to add today?
No, I just appreciate you guys letting us come and speak and stuff like that. Yeah.
Big thank you to KBEM. Big thank you to Manny Hill here and overseeing everything for us. I will be seeing you on the court. We'll be in the audience and cheering you on. Thank you so much for coming in, Dave. Second time here. You add so much. And the gratitude from the families to what you're doing is, words don't cover it. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you.
I'm Karen Eileen signing off for Voices today. Thank you for joining us.
Perfect.